Okay, so we're learning Shmuel Beis. So let's begin Perek Aleph. And if you remember, at the end of Shmuel Aleph, the last Perek of Shmuel Aleph, which is Perek Lamed Aleph, so Shaul dies in battle. And the Shmuel Beis picks up right on the heels of Shaul's death. Vayehi acharei mos Shaul, and it was right after Shaul died. V'David Shav mehakoses ha'amalek, and David returns from killing the Amalekim. Vayeshev David b'tziklag yomim shnayim, and David stays in Ziklag for, literally, yomim shnayim means 2 days, literally 2 days. So he goes back to Ziklag. Ziklag, we know, was the place where David and his men were stationed until they left for battle, and the place got ransacked, as we learned at the end of Shmuel Aleph. So this is what this, you know, David returns back to Ziklag and is there for 2 days. Bayom vayhi bayom hashlishi, pasuk beis, and it was on the third day that he was there. Vihinei ish ba min hamachane meim Shaul. A man comes from Shaul's camp. Now keep in mind, David doesn't know what happened. He didn't know that Shaul was defeated. He didn't know Shaul was killed. So, you know, this person shows up. Uvegadav keruim. His clothing is torn, va'adama al rosho, and there's earth on his head. And the Mefarshim point out this is a sign of mourning, right? So obviously he's in, his clothing was torn. He's in avelus. He's mourning. So it's not a good sign. Vayhi bevo el David, vayhi pol arza, vayishtachu, and he comes to David and he bows down, prostrates himself in front of David. Now it's interesting. Rashi points out here that he quotes a medrash, a psikta, that this was Doeg. Right? The famous Doeg HaAdomi, the one who told the Lashon Hara about Novi or HaKohanim and got Shaul to kill all the Kohanim.
He became Charles Shepherd.
Yeah, so Rashi says that, and then he says, in interesting language, Rashi says, Ve'eno miyushav alibi. He says, it doesn't sit well with me. He doesn't explain why. He doesn't explain his objection. But he says, it doesn't sit well with me that this was really Doeg. It's a medrash, you know, but it sounds like, according to the Pshat, Rashi's having a hard time with it. We'll see that it's interesting as we go on through this, through the first half of the Perek. We'll see that it's an interesting thing.
Wouldn't he recognize him when he saw him? They met before, so he would have recognized him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was a one-time thing. It was a long time ago. I don't know. Maybe.
It was his son.
Yeah.
It was Doeg's son.
He was old as Shem.
Maybe. Disheveled, right? Maybe he didn't. Maybe he, you know, he was looked disguised. Yeah, the Malbim points out something fascinating here, and he says if you really look at Pasuk Aleph, so the Pasuk is contrasting. It's contrasting Shaul and David. Vayiachari Mo Shaul, v'David Shav Me'akos Es Hamalek. You know, so why are we contrasting these two things? On the one hand, Shaul just suffered a terrible defeat, and not only did he suffer a terrible defeat, but he was killed. David just was victorious. He defeated the Amalekim. He got back all the spoils, as we discussed, and he redistributed them. He returned all the women and children that had been captured. He had been very successful. Says the Malbim that the Pasuk is trying to emphasize that just as Shaul's son was setting, right? Shaul was the Melech Yisrael. Just as his son was setting, his army was defeated, he himself was killed. At the same time, David's son was rising. Right? David's career as the Melech was just beginning. You know, Chazal tell us that this is true with tzaddikim. You know, that as one tzaddik dies, before the tzaddik dies, another tzaddik comes, you know, into the world or comes up in the world to replace that tzaddik. So in a similar way, when it comes to the Melechim, when it comes to the Melech Yisrael, that's what the Pasuk is saying, according to the Malbim. Shaul is done. His son is setting, he's being defeated, he's dying, and David is growing. He's getting more victorious. He's getting more successful. Pasuk Gimel. David turns to this young man who comes from the disheveled looking young man, comes from the camp, and he says to him, Eimi Zetava, where are you coming from? Vayomrei lov mi machane Yisrael nimlatti. I just escaped from the machane Yisrael. I escaped from the Jewish camp, right? Meaning Shaul's camp. Vayomrei lov David, mehoya hadavar, haged nali. So David says, please tell me what happened. Right? It looks like something terrible happened. What happened? Vayomer, asher nos ha'am min ha'milchama. So the man, this young man said to David, first, the people fled. They retreated. They fled from the battlefield. And the Malbim says he's saying it specifically in this order. And then, v'gam harbe nafal min ha'am, vayamusu. And then once people fled, you can't win a battle when you're running, when you're running away from your enemy. So once they fled, then they started dropping. Then they started being killed. V'gam shol v'yohonasan b'no mesu. And once they were killed, the army fled, and many lost their lives. So then Shaul the king and Yonasan his son, they also were killed. So David says, one second. Vayomer David el hanar hamagid lo. Eich yadata ki mei Shaul v'yohonasan b'no. This is big news. The king died. Shaul HaMelech. How do you know it's true? How do you know? Did you hear it? Did you see it, says the Malbim? Says the Mitzudas David, was this a rumor that Shaul and Yonasan died? Did you have some kind of circumstantial evidence? Or you know that this is a fact? You can't just start spreading rumors like this. Vayomer Hanar. Now again, I don't think this was just because of David's curiosity. David knows he's going to be the next king. So he needs to know for a fact that Shaul's dead. If Shaul's dead, I'm the king. If Shaul's not, then I'm not yet the king. I mean, this is a big nafkamina, as they say. There's a big, major, major ramification here. We need to know for a fact, is this true or not? Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Hanar Hamagidlo, Nikro Nikresi Bahara Gilboa. So the young man says, listen, I just happened to be at the battlefront on Hara Gilboa. Nikro Nikresi, the Mefarshim say, I wasn't looking for Shaul. I didn't go there looking for Shaul. You might say it. You know, if you go there looking to see, did Shaul die? So you might see something, oh yeah, you know, Shaul's dead. But that's not why I went. I didn't go looking for this information. I just happened to be there, Nikroni Krasi. V'hinei Shaul nishon al chaniso. And I see Shaul leaning on his sword. Chaniso is usually a spear, but presumably it's referring to a sword here. Some of Farshim explained that it was really a spear, but presumably it's the sword. That he was leaning on his sword, as we read about in the last perek, that he threw himself upon his sword, right, to commit suicide. V'hinei ha-rechev uvalei ha-parashim hidbikuhu. And the chariots, and the balei ha-parashim, right, the soldiers, the chariots, and the cavalry, right, the chariots and the cavalry were on top of him. They had come close. They had approached. They were about to get him. And if you remember from the last parak, Shaul specifically wanted to commit suicide before the army got to him, because he didn't want to be tortured. He didn't want to be killed by them. Pasuk Zayin, Vayifen Acharav Vayireini. So Shaul looks and he sees me. Vayikra Eli, and he calls out to me. Va'omar Hineni, and I say, I'm right here. Va'yomer li miyata, and Shaul says to me, who are you? Va'omar elov amaleki anochi. And I told him, I'm an Amaleki. Now we'll see, this means he was descended from the Amalekim. However, we'll see in a moment that he was actually a ger. He was Jewish. His father was a ger, we'll see in a moment. But he says, I'm from Amalek. Now, it's interesting. You know, the Mitzudas David says Shaul was asking him, which nation are you from? Maybe he didn't look Jewish. You know, how did he know you're from a different nation? You know, he didn't look Jewish. Maybe he had a different look to him. So he asked him that. And the Radak says, if you look at there's a Kri and a Ksiv here. The Kri is Va'omar. And I said to him, what's the Ksiv? Vayomer. So why is the Ksiv Vayomer? So says the Radak, that this kid was afraid to say he was an Amaleki. Why? Because Shaul killed all the Amalekim. Besides for Agag, Melech Amalek, Shaul went to battle to kill the Amalekim. So this kid was nervous to admit, I'm from Amalek, because he thought, if I admit I'm from Amalek, I'm going to get killed. So therefore, Vayomer, someone else said that. Someone else knew that he was from Amalek, so this kid kind of, you know, kept his mouth shut, he didn't say anything. And someone else piped, you know, chimed in, he sees Amaleki. He's from Amalek. Okay. Vayomer means and he said. Vaomar and I said. And I said. So he's telling the story here. The Amaleki. So if it's Vaomar, then it means and I said. So I responded to Shaul. But if it says Vayomer and he said, who's the he? So that's why the Radak says the he means someone else, because he was too embarrassed to say, or he was nervous to say he was an Amaleki. No. Someone else said that this fellow was an Amaleki. Yeah. Vayomer Eli, Abmod no Olai. So Shaul says to the Amaleki, come, stand next to me. Umos Seini, and kill me. Ki achazani hashavats, because I'm gripped by shavats. Now, what's shavats? Poshup shot here. Ki kol od nafshi bi, because my soul is still within me. Poshup shot in shavats is that he's got some sort of he's wounded. He's mortally wounded, right? The Radak says maybe shavats is some sort of illness that happens to a person when he's stabbed by a sword. So he gets this shavats. I don't know if it's an infection or agony. So that's how Safaria translates it.
He says death throes.
Death throes, art scroll. Okay, death throes, agony, right? So I guess that's the pashut pshat that there's that he has. He's dying, right? He's dying, but he says my nefesh is still within me. The Malbim, as the Malbim says, I tried to kill myself and my neshama's not leaving. You know, I'm in pain. My neshama's not leaving. I'm asking you to kill me. And again, he didn't want the Arelim, as he said in the last parak. He didn't want the Arelim to come, and the uncircumcised, the Gentiles, the heathens, to come and kill him and torture him. He thought they would torture him. So that's what, you know, that's why he wants this fellow to kill him. Now, that's the Pashup Shat. Radak, though, says, he quotes the Medrash, that the Medrash of Shavats is related to the word Tashbeitz, which also hints to the Big Day Kahuna. Tashbeitz hints to the Big Day Kahuna. Why was Shaul hinting to the Big Day Kahuna?
Because
the city of Nov, Shaul says that my pain, exactly, the pain and the suffering that I'm experiencing right now is because of the Big Day Kahuna, is because of what I did to the Kohanim. Ki achazani hashavats. The Big Day Kahuna have grabbed me, have taken hold of me, and are not letting my neshama leave because of what I did.
So now we know this is not the way, because Doeg was there and told him about this.
Right, so that's a question. If this was Doeg,
then he would have known.
Right? Then then he would have known about it.
Right,
you know, presumably.
Sure, right.
Yeah. Maybe that's why Rashi says that doesn't sit well with me. Yeah, could be. But he's saying I'm haunted by this. You know, this is why I'm being punished. This is why I'm suffering like this. Pasuk Yud va'emod alav va'amos sehu. So the young man says, he says, I stood there and I killed him. Ki yadati ki lo yichya acharei niflo. Now he's justifying it. How could I have killed him? Right? You know, you're telling David that you killed Shaul. How could I have killed him? Right? David never wanted to touch Shaul. Remember, David had several opportunities to kill Shaul. And he never did it because Shaul is the king. How could I kill him? So now this kid feels he has to justify it. So how does he justify it? Ki yadati ki lo yichya acharei niflo. I knew that he wasn't going to live. It was only a matter of time. He was already mortally wounded. He was going to die. Vo'ekach ha-nezer asher al-rosho, and I took the crown that was upon his head, ve'etzada asher al-zero'o, and the bracelet, he must have had some sort of royal, you know, bracelet upon his arm, vo'aviyem el-adoni hena, and I brought them to you. So says the Malbim, he's trying to justify his actions. Justification number one, he was dying anyway, right? It was only a matter of time before his neshama left him. I just sped up the process, right? I helped him, you know, I relieved him from his suffering. That's what I did, justifying his actions. Number two, look what I brought you. I brought you the nezer. I brought you the crown. You're the next king. Trying to show David, you know, I did something positive. I didn't do something negative here. I helped the transition of the malchus, of the melucha, from Shaul to you. You're the next king. Now, if you remember, we mentioned this in the last perek, but the Radak, back in Pasuk Hey, in Perek Lamed Aleph, if you remember that perek, we discuss Shaul's death, okay? And if you look back just for a moment, so in Perek Lamed Aleph, the Pasuk says that Shaul asked his no-say Kalim to kill him, and the fellow didn't want to do it at all. So what did he do? Pasuk says, Vayikach Shaul esacher vayipol aleha. Shaul takes the sword and he leaps onto the sword. And the Pasuk says, Pasuk Hey, Vayar no-say Kalim ki mei Shaul. The no-say Kalim sees that Shaul died. Shaul's dead. He also, you know, kills himself. And the Pasuk Vav, Shaul's dead. So the Radak there, on that Pasuk, says, wait, Shaul's dead? What happened to the Amaleki? Right? In the first parak in Shmuel Beis, we have a whole different story of Shaul's death. He tries to kill himself, but he's not dying, and he asks the Amaleki to finish off the job. How come that's not here? So the Radak says one of two things. He says either when the Pasuk in Perek Lamed Aleph describes that Shaul died, it doesn't really mean that he died. It means that he almost died. It means that he was mortally wounded. Later, we're going to fill in the gaps and we're going to tell this story about the Amaleki and how he helped Shaul finish the job. That's one approach. The other approach, says the Radak over there in Perek Lamed Aleph, is that this is a Baba Maisa. Maybe the Amaleki made up this whole thing. Right? He's not really telling the truth.
But he has the bracelet.
He has the bracelet, but maybe he picked it up. Right? Shaul was already dead.
You would think that after Shaul died, nobody came to touch his body?
Maybe the Amaleki was the first guy to bump into it. Right? It could be that he got there before anybody else got there. They see Shaul's dead, so he picks up the crown. Right? That's a possibility. So according to the second possibility, he says the Amaleki was lying. He made up the whole story. Shaul really killed himself. The Amaleki made up this story in order to try to find favor in David's eyes. Look, I killed your enemy. Right? Shaul was your arch enemy. He tried to kill you all these years. You know, I killed him. So that two approaches in the Radak. You know, it's a big nafkamina. Was this a true story or not a true story? But the Radak himself is not sure because he says in Perek Lamed Aleph we don't have it. In this parak and parak Aleph Shmuel Beis, we do have it. So how do you justify it? So those are the two options. Okay. So what happens? David is in mourning. Vayachazek David bevigadav. And again, we have a Korean exiv here. We'll talk about that in a second. David takes his clothing. Vayikraim. And he tears them. Vigam kolo anashim asher ito. And everyone, all of his men, they do kriya. And they tear their garments. Now, why are they tearing their garments? Normally, you tear your garments. If Rachmana Litzlan, Bar Minan, a relative passes away, you tear your garments. He was a father-in-law. He was married to Michal, but you don't tear your garments for a father-in-law. Right? It's not his father. So why is he tearing his garments here? So the Radak says, you learn from here, that the halacha is, you tear your garments, not just for relatives, but also if the Nasi dies, the Nasi was the, you know, the prince, so to speak, or the, you know, the head governor of the Jewish people. And he says Shaul was like the Nasi. He was a melech, obviously it's even greater than a Nasi. But he was the melech. So you tear your clothing. If a melech dies, if a Nasi dies, if an Av Beis Din, he says Yonason was the Av Beis Din. So Yonason also, right, was a cause for Kriya. And not just that, but if you look in the next Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayispedu. They give hespedim, vayivku, and they cry, vayatsumu, they fast, ado erev, al shaul val yehonasan beno, on Shaul and on Yehonasan, v'al am Hashem, and on the nation of Hashem, v'al beis Yisrael ki naflu becharev. Right, so we have four things mentioned here. We have Shaul, Yehonasan, am Hashem, and beis Yisrael. These are the four causes, the four reasons why we're doing Kriya. Now the Radak says that since each one of these is mentioned separately, that means that you have to tear Kriya in each of these cases. You have to tear Kriya if the Nasi dies. You have to tear Kriya if the Av Beis Din dies. You have to tear Kriya al Am Hashem. So what's Am Hashem? Am Hashem, he says, is a Rov Tzibor. Rov Tzibur. Now, how to define exactly Rov Tzibur, I'm not sure. But if you have a group, it sounds like, and the majority of the group is killed, you have to tear Kriya, regardless of who they are. So in the case of Shaul's men, most of them were killed. Most of Shaul's men were killed. So that was an additional reason to tear Kriya. And the Radak goes back to the previous Pasuk, and he says, maybe that's the Kriya and the Ksiv. Because it says, Bivigdo, that's the Ksiv. The Ksiv is Bivigdo, but the Kriya is Bivgadov. Why? Plural. Maybe really he tore all of his garments. The halacha is that whenever you do Kriya, for anyone other than a parent, you only have to tear the outer garment. You don't have to tear all the garments. You tear just the outer garment if you're doing Kriya for anyone other than a parent. A parent, you have to tear all of the garments, outer, inner, all the way down to the heart, right? Not a, you know, undergarments, but everything else you have to tear. So here, really the obligation was to tear your outer garment. That's it. The nasiyah, based on whatever it was. You tear your outer garment. That's bivigdo. But David tore Kriya for everyone. He tore Kriya for Shaul. Then he tore Kriya again for Yonasan. And he tore Kriya again for the Am Hashem. So therefore, he literally tore all of his begadim, not for one. He tore for each one separately. And that's why he tore his outer garment for Shaul, presumably. Then the next garment he tore for Yonasan. The next garment he tore for the Am Hashem. That's what he's tearing. He's tearing each one separately. And that's why it says, Bivigadov, he says. I'm sorry?
Why did he fast?
Again, out of mourning, out of avelus. Fasting is always involved with tshuva. You know, the melech Yisrael is killed, the avbeistin is killed. We have to do tshuva, so it's a means of doing tshuva, presumably, the fasting. Now, it's also the Mefarshim pick up on the repetition between the Am Hashem and the Beis Yisrael. Am Hashem and Beis Yisrael, isn't that the same thing? It's referring to Klal Yisrael. So the Metzudah Stavet says the Am Hashem refers to the Gedolim, the great people of Klal Yisrael, and the Beis Yisrael is the rest of the nation, everybody else. But that's the Am Hashem is the Gedolim. The Malbim says also similarly, Am Hashem is the Sanhedrin, he says, and Beis Yisrael refers to the rest of Bnei Yisrael, so either it's the Sanhedrin or the Gedolim, but it's referring to the different people. So he tears Kriya, and then Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer David El Hanar Hamagidlo. Now David, after they show their mourning and they tear their Kriya, he turns to this young man who told him the news, and he says, Eimi Ze'ata, where are you from? Now, we already know he's from Amalek. We discussed this already. Pasuk Ches. So why is David repeating the question? It says in Metzudas David, he knows that he was an Amaleki. He's asking, are you still with Amalek? Or did you convert? Meaning, I know you're an Amaleki, you descend from Amalek. Are you still an Amaleki? You still live with Amalek? Or did you convert and you're a Jew? You're just descended from Amalek. Vayomer, ben ish ger Amaleki anochi. He says, no, I'm the son of a ger Amaleki. I'm the son of an Amaleki who converted to Judaism. So I'm really a Yid. I'm a Jew. And I was born a Jew. My father was a ger. That was his response. Vayomer elov David. And David turns to him. And he says, and again, the backdrop of this, as the Metzudas David says, is, you were born a Yid. You just told me you were born a Yid. Eich lo yoreisa lishloach yodcha l'shacheis es Mashiach Hashem. He says, how did you not have the fear to lay your hands on the Mashiach Hashem? So this is, you know, you imagine the drama here. This Naramaleki was so proud of what he did. Right? You know, according to the second shot of the Radak, he made up the whole story because he was excited that David's going to look favorably upon him. He killed his arch enemy. He was so excited, so proud. And meanwhile, David flips the whole thing on its head and says, what's the matter with you? How could you have touched the Mashiach Hashem? Right? David, as we know, had multiple opportunities to kill Shaul and he didn't because he was the Mashiach Hashem.
Was he asking in astonishment or was he asking in like angrily?
It may be both. Maybe both. He's upset.
Well, how do you have the guts to do it? That's one way of putting it. Or
how could you have done that? How could you have done it? It seems like he's saying, how could you have done it? That's how the Metzudas David understands it. And he says, you know, even if he was about to die, and remember, that's how the Nahum HaMaliki justified it. He said he would have died anyway. He was about to die. I hastened it a little bit. But according to the Metzudas David, what David HaMelech, now he is the Melech, what David said to the Nahum HaMaliki is, that's no excuse. It doesn't matter that he's almost dead. If he's alive, he's alive. If he's dead, he's dead. He wasn't dead yet. So what you did was a chait. Pasuk Tesvav, Vayikra David la'achad mehane orim, Vayomer gash pegabo, Vayakeo vayamos. So he turns to one of his men and he says, kill him. Kill him. He just killed the Mashiach Hashem. He just killed him, the Melech. So he kills him. He kills him. Vayomer, a love David, Damcha al Roshecha. So he tells, you know, it sounds like from the Pesukim that he says this to him after he was killed already. Right? The guy was already killed, because that's what the Pasuk says, Vayakeo Vayamos. But, you know, maybe he said it right before he was killed, or maybe he said it to him after he was killed. Damcha al Roshecha, your blood is upon your head. Kificha anavacha, lemor anochi mosati, es Mashiach Hashem. Because your mouth admitted that I killed the Mashiach Hashem. I killed the Mashiach Hashem. Yeah.
Or is he really the king?
So it seems like he really is the king. He was already anointed in advance, right? Again, it didn't take effect yet because Shaul was still alive. But, right, Naomi's saying, maybe he was already anointed, so as soon as Shaul's dead, that's it. Now he just slips into the position.
Does the king have permission, number one, to kill anybody?
Oh, very good.
Or does he have to have, if you kill somebody, if somebody says, I killed this person, if you didn't give him warning, you didn't give him aid, then you don't kill him.
Very good, very good.
Maybe he's revenging Shaul's killer.
Good. Very good, right? Very good questions. So, okay. So we'll talk about this in 1 second. So just on this pasuk, right? Just this pasuk shot, damcha al roshecha, he's telling him, this is your fault. You know, you did this to yourself. And again, here, the Radak also picks up on the Kri and the Ksiv, because the Kri is damcha, but the Ksiv is damecha. So damecha, says the Radak, maybe it means your blood and Shaul's blood. Right? Shaul's blood is on your head because you killed him, and now your blood is on your head. Right? Because now you're responsible for your own death also because of what you did. So you have double blood. Your blood and Shaul's blood are on your head. So how could he have killed him? Right? Some of the Mefarshim struggle with this. How could he have killed him? You know, we don't just kill people, and certainly not based on their own admission. Right? Not based on their own admission. You know, you need Edim, Hasra, your witnesses and warnings. You know, based in a trial, something. Here, this guy comes, he admits to it. According to the Radak, he may have been making up the whole story. And Shaul just, and David just kills him.
David doesn't kill him.
But David orders his execution. Right? How could he have done that? So the Rambam discusses this actually. I saw it quoted, Rav Lopiansky in the beautiful Sefer here, Yesodei HaNeviim. So he quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. And the Rambam says, that we know, it's Xeris HaKasuv, Beistin does not punish unless you have 2 Edim, right? Apishnaim Edim, Yakum Davar, you know, you need 2 Edim. Beistin doesn't punish. And he says, 1 second, Yehoshua, remember the story, killed Achan, right? There were no Edim. V'David Leger HaMaleki, the Rabbi Ben Hilchos Sanhedrin mentions this case, right? David killed the Ger HaMaleki. Based on their own admission. How did he do that? Writes the Rambam, Hora'ah Shah Ha'isa. It was Hora'ah Shah. Hora'ah Shah. Right, what's Hora'ah Shah? Extenuating circumstances. Generally speaking, you're not allowed to do that. But under extenuating circumstances, Beistin, or in this case, David, is allowed to take matters into his own hands. Right, presumably he believed this guy. You know, maybe he saw the crown, like Joe said, he saw the crown, he saw the bracelet. So he said, you know, this is pretty good circumstantial evidence that he really did kill Shaul. And if that's the case, so then he can do it. Another thing he says is that he says, the Rambam says, O din malchus haya. O din malchus. Right? But it's, you know, the question is, what's din malchus? Not so clear. But it's, I don't know if I would say morid b'malchus, because he wasn't really being murdered by Malchus, he killed the king. right? It's not really being morid b'malchus. I mean, it's worse than morid b'malchus, right? You know, but apparently it just means that the king is allowed, you know, to take certain matters into his own hands if he feels that it's important. You know, if he feels that there's something that needs to be, you know, that needs to be addressed. But yeah.
According to the Radak's second explanation, that it was a fabrication by the Amalek.
Right, right. So what do you do? So David killed him for nothing. You're saying the Zimri and Cosby.
Yeah.
Pinchas, when he killed Zimri and Cosby, was also extenuating circumstances. Yeah. According to that second shot of the Radak, that this was all a Baba Maisa, and he just made it up. So then the question is, you know, was the death penalty here a mistake? Like, did David make a mistake? He believed him, and really it wasn't true, and he made a mistake. I don't know. I don't know if the Radak addresses that, but yeah, it's very interesting. Anyway, but that's what the Rambam says about this, and just while I mention this sefer, he also quotes a Karakemach, who says that this all, you know, that Shaul's death was this whole process of Lashon Hara, you know, really coming to fruition. Because this whole thing, right, as we mentioned, according to that Medrash, that Hashavatz, the Shavatz grabbed me, right, that was the reference to the Tashbetz of the Big Day Kahuna. So it's like this Lashon Hara. The Doeg started by speaking Lashon Hara about Achimelech and the Kohanim, and that resulted in the deaths of all the Kohanim of Nov, and now it's resulting in Shaul's death, right? So it's Lashon Hara as the Pasuk says, Maves v'chayim b'yad ha-Lashon. Right, the Lashon Hara can cause all sorts of terrible things. So that's another thing that he brings from the Karakemach, that you see this terrible vicious cycle of Lashon Hara. Okay, let's take a look a little further. So the pasuk here, we have a little kina. Vayikonein David es akina hazos al Shaul v'al Yehonas son beno. Pasuk Yud Zayin. So David has this kina, this type of eulogy, sad poem on Shaul and Yehonasan's death. Now you see that David was not gleeful that they're dead. Shaul was his enemy; he was his archenemy, and I'm assuming there was a certain degree of relief when Shaul was killed. That okay, you know, he's not going to be chasing me anymore to kill me. So I'm sure there was a certain degree of human relief, but at the same time, it's a kina. The Melech Yisrael, the Mashiach Hashem, right, was just killed. We have to be mekonein. Pasuk Yudches vayomer lelamed bnei Yehuda kashes. We have to teach the bnei Yehuda to shoot with a bow. Hinei chesuva al sefer hayasher, and it's written upon the sefer hayasher. Maybe we'll read it through tonight, and then maybe we'll go through it a little more in depth next week. Hatzvi Yisrael al bamosecha chalal eich naflu giborim. Right, Hatzvi Yisrael, the tzvi, we know tzvi to be a deer, but it's referring to the splendor, the grandeur of Klal Yisrael, al bamosecha chalal, upon your heights. Right, lie the slain. I'm reading the Art Scroll translation. Eich naflu giborim, famous words. Right, these are words that are borrowed. Eich naflu giborim comes from here. Al tagidu vegas al tivasru b'chutzos Ashkelon. Do not tell it in Gas. Don't spread it on the streets of Ashkelon. Pentismachna benos plishtim. Because what's going to happen? You talk about the fact that Shaul was killed. The benos plishtim. The plishtim were the enemies. They're going to rejoice. And again, chas v'shalom for that to happen. For people to rejoice at the death of the Melech Yisrael. Pentalozna benos ha'arelin. Hareva gilboa al tal v'al matar. Right in the mountains of Gilboa, you shouldn't have dew. It shouldn't rain. Aleichem usadei terumos, not on the fields. Kisham nigal magen giborim, because there was rejected the shield of the mighty ones. Magen Shaul beli Mashiach b'shamin, the shield of Shaul, as if it was unanointed with oil, as if he wasn't the king. He was just cut down, as if he was nothing. Midam chalolim mechelev giborim. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, Keshes Yehonasan lo naso gachor. The bow, the keshes, the bow of Yehonasan would not go backwards, would not recoil. The cherev Shaul lo sashuv reikam, and the sword of Shaul would not return empty. Shaul v'Yehonasan haneehavim v'haneimim bechayehem uvemosam lo nifrodu. We say this in Avarachamim every week from the based on this pasuk. Minasharim kalu meyarayos gaveru, right? Shaul and Yonasan, beloved, haneehavim, beloved, and neimim, pleasant, bechayim in their lives, uvemosam lo nifrodu, and in their deaths, not parted. Minasharim kalu, they were swifter than eagles, meyayaros gaveru, stronger than lions, benos Yisrael el Shaul bechena, right? The daughters of Klal Yisrael cry about Shaul. Hamalbishchem shani imadonim, he would clothe you in scarlet with finery. That's how the article translates it. Hamale adi zahav alavushchen, he would place golden jewelry upon your clothing. He took care of the Benos Yisrael. Eich naflu giborim, and again, how could this have happened that the great ones have fallen? Besocha milchama, Yehonasan al bamosecha cholol, slain upon the heights. Tzar li olecha, I'm distressed over you. Achi Yehonasan, as we know how close David and Yehonasan were. Na'amta li me'od, you were so pleasant to me. Nifla'asa ahavas chali, your love was so wondrous to me. Me'avas nashim, even greater than the love of a man and a woman. Eich naflu giborim vayodu klei milchama. Right? How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war have gone to waste or for nothing. You know, you see this. You see this kina that as much as there was this constant drama, and we might even call it, you know, terrible machlokes. I mean, literally, Shaul chasing David for years to kill him, and this is how he sends him off with a hesped about how great he was. I mean, how many times did he say Echnaful Giborim? Three times, again and again and again. How he was such a gibor, he was such a great person. He did all these things for the Benos Yisrael, right? You have to mourn, Chas v'Shalom, to say it out loud. People shouldn't, you know, the nations of the world shouldn't rejoice over this. So you see that as much as Shaul had, you know, he had his issues. He wasn't perfect. And he made mistakes. He made mistakes with Agag. He made mistakes with Nov. He made mistakes with David. But at the end of the day, you know, you see from the way David sends him off, he wasn't a Russia. Shaul was not a Russia. And this is an important thing to, you know, to just bear in mind as we read about Shaul's death. And, you know, he has a bad rap. You know, people think about Shaul, you know, the Shaul HaMelech. You know, he has a bad rap. He made a lot of mistakes. And it's true he made the mistakes. But we can't forget about why he was chosen to be the Melech to begin with. The fact that he was Mishichmo Vamala. He was greater, as the Mefarshim say. Not just taller. He was greater than anyone else around him. He was a tzaddik. He made mistakes. And that's what eventually caused his demise. But to think that he was a Rasha, Chas v'Shalom, he was a tzaddik, and he died a tzaddik, and we still have what to learn from him. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.